It's the original Fried Daddy. Fried Daddy. Team Monius. Serving you with another flavorful filet.
Hey, 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 hey. Peter paid Paul, prosecutor case fall. Trial not needed, tell that loud mouth beat it. Now niggas see it, bow to the semen. Back on the land like Shazam, here I am. Killer like Cam, got gorillas on the land. Stop if you ain't got a million in your hand. Pissing in your pants, cause they let a nigga free. Wanna say a little gram, then just let a nigga free. Low sweaters with the V's, dick calls with the mocks. Down in D.C., cause them doors don't lock. Love gets shown, that's right, a nigga home. Fresh on the land, SL in the plans. Please understand, it's a few years lost. Recession ain't fair, still new gear course. Who's his boss? Can we talking on another note? Of course about the mother though, cause I ain't trying to cut a throat. Money makes the world go round, I know the lowdown. So fly tiptoe through the town, tear the gloves up. Money makes the world go round, I know the lowdown. So fly tiptoe through the town, tear the gloves up. Money makes the world go round, I know the lowdown. So fly tiptoe through the town, tear the gloves up. Money makes the world go round, I know the lowdown. So fly tiptoe through the town.
Yo, what's up, everybody? It is another episode of the Friday Fish Fry. I am your gracious host, Timonious, serving you again with another flavorful filet. Back up in this bitch again with another hot topic to discuss. If you haven't already, please go to the show website, thefridayfishfries.com. That's spelled T-H-A, fridayfishfry.com. And check out my last show where I did what's called Black and Missing. So please also make sure that, you know, once you go to the show, leave a comment on the webpage if you have any opinions about the topic that I discussed, or if you want to give your input or whatever. And I'll make sure I read it on the show the next time I do another episode. So let's move on with today's episode. So today's topic is going to be about allegiance versus allies. And what really brought upon the idea of this show is the recent interviews with Dennis Rodman concerning, you know, his visits to North Korea. I mean, if you haven't seen it, it's everywhere on the news. People are always talking about it. It seems to be today's biggest issue that people want to discuss. But for those who may not be familiar with what happened with this situation, I'm going to go ahead and give a short synopsis so you can get an understanding, because I don't want to talk about this and then, you know, you'd be confused, but like, what the hell is going on? What is he talking about? So now, for those who don't know, Dennis Rodman is a former NBA player, and you know, he was really big in the 90s. You know, he was I believe he was with the Bulls. He was really a good player. You know, he was a really good player. A lot of people just don't seem to give him as much credit, and it's typically because of his attitude and behavior. But the thing about him was he was really known for his sort of devil may care attitude, and you know, and also sort of because of his eccentric behaviors, you know, his weirdness. Like, he would often do things that, you know, made him stood out amongst the rest of the crowd. Like, for instance, he would change his hair color to like really bright colors, which is not something that people would normally do on a basketball team. You know, in a team, you mostly want to show unity. So a lot of people will wear the same outfit, have sort of the same, you know, look, basically. And yeah, he would do that. And then another thing I remember a while back, he had wrote a book, I believe it was called Bad As I Wanna Be. And during his book signing, he actually decided to wear a wedding dress, which I don't even really understand where the hell he would even tie those two together. It's weird, but you pretty much get the picture. He does a lot of eccentric type things that people, you know, like to highlight and pay attention to, and people always discuss some of the crazy things that he does. But anyway, as of recently, attention has really turned to this brother because of his relationship with, I think I'm saying it not right, Kim Jong-un, which is the grandson of Kim Jong-il. And so for those who don't know, Kim Jong-il was a former leader of North Korea. And the reason why I say former is because he passed away, I believe it was last year, if I'm not mistaken. I believe he passed away last year. And North Korea is a, I don't know whether to call it a dictatorship or they ain't, there's no democracy there. I know that much. They don't give a fuck about what the people got to say. Everything is being controlled under one leader. There's, I don't know, I guess a totalitarian system or something. But anyway, Kim Jong-un, he succeeded his grandfather as the leader of North Korea when his grandfather passed. And, you know, it's the family, the actual Kim family is basically like the dynasty of the family, where whenever, you know, one passes, they don't necessarily vote and say, OK, who's going to be the next leader? They basically pass it down through bloodline. And over in Korea, they, you know, they kind of see, they see that Kim family as sort of a, have a, like a divine bloodline. So it's not, it's not out there for them to just basically rely upon their government to be, you know, headed by an individual or family, because in their mind, it's done so because of that family's connection with God or whatever, you know. And you see that a lot in history, particularly with pharaohs and, you know, all these other, like the queen in England, she's said to have a royal bloodline, or the royalty is supposedly connected to Peter, who is, you know, the Peter that's mentioned in the Bible as the rock of Christ. Basically, all of that is connected together. So, you know, but I'm getting off the topic. But anyway, like I said, there are no elections, and the presidency is always handed through the familial bloodline. And like over the last 50 plus years, America has really had an invested interest in the North Korea's government, particularly how North Korea treats their citizens, basically. I mean, every so often you always hear about some of the horror stories of their government and what they do to their people. As of recently, there was a mention of how Kim Jong-un basically killed his uncle. But it's not necessarily the fact that he killed his uncle, it's the way he killed him. Supposedly, he had basically threw his uncle into a pit full of 120 starving dogs. And that's fucking crazy. If you know what I'm saying, like, it's that type of thing that, you know, a lot of people, you know, they, you hear about and people gasp and you know, they say, oh my god, we need to, you know, those people are barbaric, and you know, I can't believe they allow themselves to be ruled with this type of leadership and whatnot. But as of recently, like I said, Rodman decided to visit, I think it was last year, he decided to visit North Korea. And I'm not sure exactly what was his reasoning for visiting there. Actually, you know what? I think what it was that the actual Kim Jong-un, he grew up in the 90s. You know, like he's fairly young. I think he's around 30 or something years old. He's not an old guy. He's like a young kid or whatever. And so around the time that he was growing up, you know, basketball was really a big thing, you know, in the 90s, because basketball is good now, but basketball in the highlight was really good in the 90s. Like, I don't even watch sports now, but in the 90s, I was fucking with basketball because it was really that good. You know, nowadays it's more political. It's kind of like a spectator soap opera nowadays. But back then it was all about the game. It was all about, you know, who had the best skill. And, you know, it was a golden age. And at that time, you know, it was a sport that everybody enjoyed all over the world. And I believe Kim Jong-un was a big fan of Rodman growing up or whatever, because of his eccentric behavior, because of his rebellious attitude, you know, and I guess he could relate to that. So, you know, now that he's a leader, he's like, fuck it. You know, I want to meet this dude. So I'm going to just go ahead and reach out to him and have him come over to to North Korea so I can actually meet with him and get to know him as an individual rather than a player. And so Rodman basically took a trip over to North Korea, and that was last year. And he stayed there for a while, and he spent time with the leader and everything, and they built a bond or whatever. And, you know, that was something that rubbed a lot of Americans the wrong way. And the reason being is because really they say it's because of his inhumane behaviors towards his people. How can you, you know, oblige to somebody who's that brutal? But really what I think it is America, you know, is a lot like Rome, where we're always, well, not we, but the America, the government, is always looking over its shoulder because it always feels as if there's someone out there that could attack us. And that's how Rome got big. That's how Rome got the size that it was, because Rome was a very relatively small nation. But it began its empire with the philosophy that we have to have a preemptive mentality, that we have to strike out before we get struck in by other countries. So when you see something like that happening, where you see a brother like him who really wasn't that loved by his own country, and you know, I mean, no, in the 90s, like I said, he was really doing some weird shit, but they always try to make it seem like there was something off about him, like he was a bad guy. You know, like he was just really a terrible human being, you know. And I think mostly what it was because Rodman was outspoken. He didn't play the game. When I mean he didn't play the game, I'm not talking about basketball. I'm talking about he didn't play the politics game of basketball. Because at the time, like much now, a lot of the white athletes in the media, they get pumped up. They're like, oh yeah, look at Tim Tebow, he's the greatest, he's a Christian, he could do this and he could do that, and he can walk on water, god damn it, he's the best, you know. And that kind of happened as well in the 90s with Larry Bird. And Rodman, like I said, was outspoken. He doesn't hold back anything. He says what's on his mind. So he just basically said, I don't think Larry Bird is all that great, I think you guys are hyping him up. And when they asked, why do you think that he's hyped, Rodman just came out flat with it and said it's because he's a white guy. He's your great white hope. So that's the reason why you treat him like he's the next second coming. And of course, white America didn't like that, because in anything or any entertainment business, it sells more if there's a white main role, authoritarian figure that the white audience can identify. See, black people are always forced to identify with white leaders or white figures as far as entertainment, but whites don't feel that they should have to do the same. Like, there's no balance of, okay, well, this, you know, we have two different heroes, you know, basically. There's a black hero, there's a white hero, or there could be an Asian or Hispanic hero or whatever. Anytime that something of value as far as the like media pumps up, it's always related to white heroes. Like, for instance, the TV show, The Avatar was a television show about this young, I don't know what to call him, but basically he was a hero, basically. And he was a little boy who was training to become a hero to bring peace to his country. And it's settled over in the Middle Eastern, you know, it has a lot of Middle Eastern, religious tones and philosophies or whatever. And when they decided to do the movie, they at first had, a person from the Middle East played the character, the main character who was on or whatever. And shortly after they started filming, they did a trailer, and it was a trailer where you had the Middle Eastern young boy. I don't know his name, but you could clearly tell he was Middle Eastern or whatever. And he was doing the moves. It was getting up people all hyped. Like, oh, great. It finally decided to do a movie about this great show, because it really is a great show. I watch it. I love it. But soon after they did the first trailer, they came out with another trailer further down the road. And the Middle Eastern boy was not playing on. It was a white kid. And they did that because they knew that when it comes to sci-fi movies, the biggest demographic for sci-fi movies are white males between the ages of 13 to 40. So they felt that, okay, if we put this hero in as an Asian dude, it's not going to bring in as much bang for the buck. It's not going to get as much support from the white community, from the main demographic, if we allow a Middle Eastern boy to play the hero. So what we need to do is we need to put a white figure, we need to whitewash the movie so that, you know, we'll get more viewers, we'll get more support from the white community, because they know white people won't really support a main character that's black, that's the hero, the actual hero of the actual show or anything. So anyway, I'm going off topic, but basically at that point in time when he made that statement about Larry Bird, a lot of people, whites in particular, were up in arms about it. Black people, we already knew what the deal was. We was like, yeah, that nigga, he just told the truth. Shit, he just told the truth. But white people, they was just like, man, fuck him. He's an asshole. He's arrogant. He's got an attitude. He can't play with his teammates and blah, 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 blah. You know, just a whole bunch of hoopla. So I'm guessing that Kim Jong-un is able to relate to that type of, you know, rebellious attitude. And I guess in his mind, he's like, okay, your country rejects you and your abilities, along with them rejecting us with our leadership, you know, with my, you know, my ruling, my leadership of my country. So me and you may have something in common. So basically, he went over there last year and came back. And of course, as soon as he came back, people wanted to do interviews with him. Hey, yeah, you went over to Kim Jong-un's and you met him. What do you think about him? You know, basically setting up traps, because they know Rodman is going to tell what Rodman feels. He's not going to hold back. He's going to say what's on his mind or whatever. And so, you know, basically Rodman was like, yeah, he's a cool dude. I don't got no problem with him. You know, he's a nice guy. And white people flipped the fuck out. They were like, oh, how can you say he's a nice guy and he's done all these evil things to his people? You know, how can you say something like that? That's atrocious. Do you know that he does this or he did that? Or do you understand what's going on? And, you know, they're trying to basically so-called educate him on the travesties that North Korea has faced, which I'm not denying that they have faced. They have faced a lot of travesties, but you got to know the history. You got to know why they face these issues. But, you know, Rodman, he's just basically like, hey, look, the guy's good with me. He's cool. I see him as a friend. And I don't see what, you know, I don't see why I can't make create a connection with someone that, by my determination, not by the determination of this country, and what you tell me through the news, seems to be an okay guy. You know, he seems to be fine. I have no issues with him, so I don't see why I should have to, you know, limit my connections with, you know, people outside of this country based upon how you feel about him. And a lot of people, you know, after that, kind of like dropped it a little bit. They just said, okay, he's just crazy. He's just acting out. He's just being Rodman. But as of recently, Kim Jong-un had a birthday. So he reached out to Rodman again and was like, hey, look, I got a birthday party going on. It will be great for you and possibly a lot of your former NBA players that you played along with in the 90s to come back over to the North Korea and celebrate my birthday. Well, Rodman agreed to do it. And again, this shit all came up again. Media just flipped the fuck out and started basically, you know, demonizing the brother, trying to make him seem as if he was, committing a treasonous act. But what they don't tell you is Rodman is not the only one who's visiting North Korea. Rodman is not the only one that's meeting with Kim Jong-un. They act as if, oh no, America just ain't fucking with him at all. America ain't having no connections with this dude at all because of all the travesties and things that he's done. People go over to North Korea all the fucking time. No matter what has, I mean, this is not the first incident of what, you know, barbaric behavior that they have exhibited. You know, so people have visited over there that are not Rodman. You know, just ordinary people, filmmakers, artists, politicians, just ordinary people that just want to get up and just travel over across the country and see what, you know, North Korea has to offer. This is not something that's abnormal. He's not doing anything rebellious, in other words. And I know a lot of people, black people especially, when I talk about this, they always just be like, well, why is Rodman over there? Like, what is he supposed to be doing? Like, why is he deciding to go over there? And for me, to be honest with you, I think it's really because of two reasons. Number one, like I said, you know, Kim Jong-un, he has a fondness of NBA players, of basketball players of the 90s or whatever. And, you know, a lot of people, they kind of think about it. They're like, oh, well, you know, he hasn't really played the game in so long. But you got to understand, over in countries like that, they have a tight hold of what gets shown on television. So a lot of the things that we think is past and old and outdated and, you know, things that are, you know, this. You know, just old, just not hip anymore, not happening or whatever you want to call it. They still see that stuff as fresh, as new. You know what I'm saying? Because they have to censor. They censor a lot of movies, TV shows, music and whatnot to go into that country because they understand that if you don't censor the things that come into the country, it can possibly influence the behavior and the mentality of the people. They understand that there's a power behind entertainment. So they have to censor it. They have to make sure that when they show these different things to their people, that it's not something that could possibly cause an uproar or cause them to rebel against the government. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, we don't really understand that. You know, we over here, you know, listening to ASAP Rocky and Future, and they over there listening to MC Hammer. You know, they over there with Hammer pants and shit. And we just like, why the fuck y'all still, you know, rocking with that shit when we rocking with this? But it's because of that. And like I said, Kim Jong-un had a birthday party and he invited former NBA players to the party to celebrate. And you know, media turned its attention towards it. And as of recently, there was an interview with Rodman concerning his visit over to North Korea for his birthday party. And you have to watch this video. This video is funny in its own way because there's a guy, I forget what his name is. He's an interviewer for CNN, I believe. And he's interviewing Rodman and he's like, hey, don't you understand what the problem with you going over there? Don't you understand that there's a timing involved? There's issues involved with you traveling over there. And, you know, he's trying to make it seem like you're doing something that's very, you know, very hurtful towards your own country by going over there. And he tried to bring up I forget what the guy's name was. But anyway, there's supposedly a individual, a U.S. citizen who's over, who's being held captive in that area. They haven't released any reasons as to why they've been holding him captive, but there has been some speaks of people have spoken about what the reason it is. It's not like it's just oblivious. There's just shit that just happened overnight. It's just that they have not released an official statement. They have not released an official statement as to why we are detaining this individual. And one of the reasons why he's being detained, or what it is said to be the reason why he's being detained, is because I think he came over as like sort of a cultural art, philosopher, or well, not philosopher, art professor or whatever. He's supposed to be studying art and the history of North Korea or whatever. But what they found was that he was basically trying to infiltrate their citizens and try to create a collective group of minds to rebel against North Korea and try to form a new government that's under democracy. And that's not uncommon. Americans, we always do that. We always send people over to different countries and they seemingly seem to be harmless. They seem to be just ordinary people who are just coming over to the country to do business or whatever. But really what they're doing is they're coming over there to build relationships with people that's in that country so they can overthrow the government. So that government then will have to be dependent upon America, you know. So it's colonization, but done under a different name. But anyway, so he's asking Rodman all these questions, and Rodman, it's funny because Rodman has had so much drugs in his life that you can't really have a debatable conversation with him because there's a lot of incoherency with his responses. Like he would, like, I think what it is the brother, his, like I said, his, he's lost a lot of brain cells because he used to do a lot of fucking drugs back in the day, and he gets frustrated because he can't form sentences and express himself in a cohesive manner. So then he ends up blowing up and saying things that are neither here or there, or have any connection at all towards what the question was that you asked him. Like, for instance, the interviewer was like, do you not understand how this could be detrimental to the rescue of this detained American citizen? Do you know that he is being held without any reason? And Rodman, he's just like, hold on. And he's got this other guy named Charles. Like I said, I'm not that big in sports, whatever. So excuse me if I can't remember his last name. But the guy Charles, he's like the Barack Obama of the group. He's just like, oh, we just want to come over here and play ball. We don't want any trouble. We just doing what we do. We you know, he's just trying to be, you know, calm and trying to make sure that everybody understands we not treasonous. We don't deny America and its greatness. We want to be Americans. We love America. We support America. We not forming any allegiance with this country. You know, basically trying to, you know, dissipate the tension. But Rodman, he wants to speak for himself, but he can't really speak that well. And so he's just like, Rodman's like, hold on. I got this. You said, well, do I not understand why? Do you not understand that these are black people? These are men. They got families. Do you not? Black people over here. We gotta go home. I'm just like, God damn it, nigga. Really? like, I feel what you're trying to say, but you just need to let this brother who's got all his brain cells left speak. You know what I'm saying? You can't. I know what you're trying to say. Basically, from what I gather, what he was trying to say was like, look, I know what you're doing. You're basically just trying to demonize me and these people and try to show that we are not loyal to America, which we are. Because if you show that as that being the case to the white public, when we come back, we have to come back because we have families over here in America. We're going to receive death threats. We're going to be followed by your government. We're going to be treated as spies, and we're going to be treated as hostiles. So please stop trying to show us as rebellious or malicious group who's trying to overthrow the American government, because that is not what we're about. That's what he was trying to say. But the dude came off like he was fucking a WWE wrestler, like he was about to throw down and jump through the fucking screen and choke the shit out the damn interview or whatever. But anyway, and so so that happened. So that happened. And so a lot of black people, they talk about it and they're like, you know, like, I don't understand why he going over there. I mean, really, what has he got to gain by going over there? Or they'll say something like, well, you know, he should go over there. I mean, because, you know, at least those people will respect us. We don't get no respect over here in America. And, you know, there's some truth to both sides, really. There really is some truth to both sides. I can't really stake a claim on either side. I just have to say that we have to be cautious of others' motives. And the reason why I say that is because everybody and their mama on this rock that we call planet Earth knows about the black struggle in America. Everybody knows about that. Everybody knows about blacks being treated as slaves, as second class citizens, as subhuman beings in America, the mistreatment that we are facing now. And a lot of people, they seemingly want to support us. They're fake supporters. And what they do is they use our struggle as a way to gain traction on their agenda. So a lot of times what they do is they'll try to pretend to relate to our struggle. And like you hear it all the time, Republicans be like, oh, well, you know, this whole Obamacare is just like slavery. Like, no, nigga, no, it's not. Shut the fuck up. It's not. All right. Stop your bullshit. Stop hitching your fucking fake ass wagon to our struggle and trying to make it seem like you give a fuck about black people. But that's, I'm going off topic. But anyway, so even though we do that domestically, there is a possibility for people out of this country to do that on a global scale. And that's what concerns me. That's what concerns me, is that he's trying to relate to our black struggle. And he may be trying to gain support from black people in general so that we'll form an allegiance with a country that we don't reside in. And there's a danger to that. And the reason why a lot of people say, well, it's just Dennis Rodman went over there. But a lot of people haven't spoke about it as of yet. And I don't know if they will. But there was actually some rappers from Washington who recently took a trip over to North Korea's capital to do a music video. Like, where the fuck they do that at? Like, I'm glad that you have that kind of clout that you can go international, but nigga, you got a backyard that you can shoot this video. You know what I'm saying? I don't think they got fucking big booty hydrogel strippers in North Korea. So, yeah. So, that in itself was kind of weird to me. And they said that these rappers, and they're not really big rappers. I don't even know their names. They're not like they're not like, you know, Lil Wayne or anything like that. These are basically local rappers who traveled over to North Korea to shoot their own video or whatever. And it was said that they were able to do some type of Kickstarter type deal where people could donate so they could raise enough money to travel over to North Korea, which that to me sounds fishy as fuck, because anybody that's gonna donate to fly a nigga over the fucking to North Korea to do a fucking video, I seriously doubt that any black person, I say black because like I said, these people are local, and local talent is always supported by local people. You know, local people, you know, particularly the black community, is going to support them if they're any good. So to me, I may be wrong, I may be jumping to conclusions, but what I feel is that some organization, some international organization that's connected with North Korea gave those brothers that money to go over to do that video. And what it is mental warfare. It's basically a slap in the face to the American Republic saying, hey, you think you're all that. You think you're bad and big and bad. You think you the greatest country ever. You think that everybody loves you within your own country. But guess what? We can get people from your country to come over and do business with us without your consent. And that's really the biggest issue that's concerning these topics right now, is that a lot of white Americans feel that they're being disrespected by blacks. Like, oh, how dare you? You're supposed to be aligned with us. But the real matter is, a lot of times, well, mostly, a lot of black people don't feel as if there is an allegiance or alliance with the black community, simply because of the things that we've endured over the years, and the fact that a lot of white people, you know, they don't want to talk about slavery. They don't want to acknowledge it. They don't want to acknowledge the effects that it's had today. They don't want to acknowledge the propaganda and the bad publicity that blacks are getting on television. They want to make it seem like there's no racism, you know. So a lot of times black people feel that there is a disconnect and a rejection from white Americans' point of view. And so that's what makes it so that a lot of these brothers are susceptible to outside country influences to join an alliance or allegiance with them. But the thing is, what I'll say is, yes, we should broaden our horizons. We should build relationships outside country. And, you know, and the reason why is that is because a lot of our history has been lost. And America is not keen on teaching African history or African-American history. I mean, there's been so many things stricken from the books as far as the history books in school to prevent any type of education on a minority level. And a lot of the information that we have is available, but it's hidden. It's hidden and you have to find it. It's not readily available for anybody to know. There's a lot of great things that we have done. There's a lot of contributions that we have made to this country and all over the world. And we don't know those things because this information is swept under the rug, per se, so that we don't really have that information at hand. Because if we knew, we could not necessarily overthrow the country, but we could rise as a people, basically. And it's good to go out in these countries and meet with other people, because a lot of these other countries, they don't have the attitude that America does. They don't feel like, okay, we should just try to, you know, sweep all this connection of African culture under the rug so nobody talks about it. They are more readily and willing to show that history. And so a lot of times, if you go over to these other countries and build relationships with them and learn their culture, you'll understand that a lot of their culture and a lot of their belief systems and religion have origins back to Africa, West Africans, to be exact. And it's good for us to go out there and mingle with other countries so we'll know that. And so we'll know our identity and know our history. Plus, it's just really good to build connections with people outside of the country because of justice reasons. A lot of times, you know, when a subgroup of people don't get justice within the nation in which they reside, a lot of times what they'll do is they'll look to other countries to assist them in gaining that type of justice. And that's one thing that black people don't do. We believe in marching and protesting, but we don't necessarily look to any outside national forces to try to ally with us and build a relationship with them to try to seek justice. And I think that's important. I think that black people should do that. But the thing is, we need to make sure that we form alliances and not allegiance. And there's a difference between an alliance and an allegiance. Allegiance basically means that, you know, I give my everything to you. You know, I am subject to you. Whatever you desire, whatever your agenda is, it is my agenda as well. You know, and a lot of times when people form allegiances, their agenda and their needs are often ignored. And that's what I would be afraid to happen to black people if we begin to build these type of relationships with people outside of this country. We need to have an alliance, which is different from allegiance, where an alliance basically says, hey, look, you recognize me as an independent. I recognize you as an independent. I have an agenda. You have an agenda. Let's help each other out. You know, we might not love each other. We might not agree with everything, you know, each other say, but we do have a common interest and we do have a common goal, as you know, so to speak. So let's help each other out so that we both get what we want, so we both fulfill our own wishes. And so I think that we should form those type of relationships, not necessarily an allegiance. And the thing about it is, the reason why I say that is because any country who has formed an allegiance with another nation, they've always fell short. They've always suffered from that. I mean, look at North Korea itself. North Korea was, well, actually North and South Korea at one point was just Korea. But what happened was Japan got into a war with Korea. And they basically tried to colonize, well, I think they did. They colonized Korea. And because of the war that was going on at the time with World War II, Russia was fighting against Japan itself is also. So because of that war, the country basically got split in two. And the reason why I got split in two is because America was Russia's ally at the time. And we assisted them with being able to overthrow Japan and get them out of the Korean country. So as a form of an agreement, Korea got split into two, where it was North Korea and then South Korea. And the Russians occupied the North and Americans occupied the South. And basically, because of Korea was relying on Russia to gain independence from Japan, they also had to rely on Russia's economic system. They had to rely on Russia's ability to be successful. Well, at the time it was, I say Russia, but at the time it was the, it was Russia. Now it's, I believe it's Soviet Union or whatever. Well, Russia fell, basically. Russia fell, the economy collapsed, communism left. And because of that downfall, it caused a ripple effect, a domino effect on North Korea. Because they were relying on them. They had gained an allegiance to North Korea. But because that country fell, their economic structure collapsed. And now there's a lot. Well, actually, in the 90s, there was a lot of famine. There was a lot of people starving in North Korea because of their economy. And see, that's what I'm basically saying is that when you form an allegiance, you don't have the ability to pull out and be independent. You don't have the ability. There's no buffer, basically. There's nothing that prevents you from hurting when the other person you're in allegiance with hurts. But we don't need to do that. We as black people, we need to start seeing ourselves as an independent nation rather than a minority. Because nowadays, we always get hurt. We always get told, you know, by media and whatnot, that, oh, you know, blacks are a minority. They repeatedly say that over and over and over and over again. And when you hear stuff like that over and over and over again, you become to accept it and see it as a fact, as a fact of life, basically. But truth be told, we're not really a minority because we have origins. We have national origins, but they're not. We don't really know them because, like I said, our history has been removed from our access, per se, as far as being readily available and taught in school. But we as black people, we should understand that we're not necessarily, you know, a subset of this country. We're more of a nation that lives within the country that we're in right now. And a lot of black people, they don't really think like that because, like I said, we've been taught that we are minorities. And then also, if you're not being taught that you're a minority, a lot of people have the feeling that it's better to be a citizen than it is to be the forum, your own independent people, because we always have been shown that citizenship, you know, is greatness, is an acceptance. And they've always dangled citizenship in front of blacks' face like a little carrot. And we've been trying to constantly become citizens. And we, even to this day, we're not citizens. A lot of people think that we are, but we're not. Because the reason why I say that is because at one point in time, after I think 1964, there was a Voting Rights Act that had to get renewed every 20 years. If we were really citizens, we wouldn't have to go into debate about whether or not to allow its citizens to vote, or should we put things in place to allow this citizen or group of citizens to vote. If we really were citizens, we have citizen privileges, but we're not really recognized as citizens. And that's the reason why a lot of times we don't get the justice that we're looking for in the courtrooms and stuff like that, because we're trying to become a subset or trying to align ourselves or allege ourselves with a government that doesn't really see us as citizens. So if they don't see us as citizens, then we need to find our own nation, our own independent way of governing ourselves, so that we can build our own economic system and create a sub economic system within this country, so that we can gain those privileges or those rights that other people get to have. Like Spanish people, they have nationality, which is, you know, some in Spain, some in Mexico. But where do we align ourselves? Who is our country? Who do we connect with? Who do we send money back home to? We don't have anybody to send money back home to, because we don't know who we are. We don't know our origins. You know, we've all come from different places and we're all mixed up. So a lot of us, we don't really have a sense of nationality. And that's what I'm basically saying, is we need to develop a sense of nationality so we can get our own interests considered and achieved. But that's been today's show. Follow your boy on Twitter at @THA_FRI_FridayFishFry. Like I said earlier in the show, if you haven't listened to my previous episodes, please go to my webpage, thefridayfishfry.com. That's spelled THA fridayfishfry.com. Leave a comment. Let me know what you think. If you agree with me, please let me know what it is that you agree with. If you disagree with me, please let me know what it is you disagree. Do you have another opinion? Is there something that I left out? Let a brother know. And I will hit you guys up on the next week. Peace.